be stricken from the records.
Objection sustained.
If it please the court, Your Honor, at this time I would like to introduce my three main witnesses.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony.
And proceed we will, coming to you from an unknown yet virus-free studio in the great state of Amnesia, broadcasting to South Florida audiences of all ages, makes, and models. Welcome to Lifestyles and the Law Today. Just a little legal lesson and full-time reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. Good day to you. I'm Alan Mason, your host and main witness number one, along with witness number two, our show producer, Rick Snyder, and you, my good friend, are the main witness, which makes you the smartest person in the room, or car, literally. We pass along a big thank you to you for being with us every week. This is the place where the coolest legal minds gather for the latest legal news and time-saving tips. Along with the latest community-first information, our mission is educating those in need of legal representation with a solid base of top legal minds and law scholars. You know, I'm often asked, what's the first thing you know when you wake up in the morning? Well, the first thing you know, oh, Jed's a millionaire. No, seriously, folks, who wakes up every morning wondering which lawyer to choose if you are involved in an accident today? As far as that goes, who plans for an accident? The only time you need personal injury representation is after you're injured, right? So, if you find yourself in need of sound legal advice, call the good folks at the Robes Law Group. They know how personal injury works and will be happy to assist you. Their mission is getting you well and putting your life back in order. The legal minds over at the Robes Law Group are so smart, they can solve a Rubik's Cube to the third power. If you've been injured, make contact with them by dialing 561-570-5700. With offices throughout Palm Beach County, visit their website at robeslawgroup.com. Coming up on today's show, attorney Kara A. Brotman will explain the interworkings of wills, trusts, and estates. Get your wallet ready for the dollar down discussion. That's coming right up. And in the news, it seems people are in the headlines this week. We have a laconical list of silly folks leaping for the headlines. That details at the bottom of the hour. And panophobia. In 35 minutes, we'll booster up some will and endeavor to find the truth or a cure. Panophobia. Don't be afraid to look that up. Hey, folks, remember the Fabergé shampoo commercial from the 70s? The one that repeatedly said, if you tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and so on and so on? Did you ever do that? Well, if you did, you are a made-in-the-USA word-of-mouth advertising agency. Keep telling your friends about this show and invite them to listen. And they'll tell two friends, and you get it. But right now, let's take a look at South Florida's latest legal headlines, brought to you by the Robes Law Group, your community-approved legal brain trust. Here with today's headlines is our constantly random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Rick Snyder.
From the newsroom, a Florida man set his bed on fire in the hospital. That caused an alarm. A Virginia restaurateur has devised an ingenious way to both fill seats and enforce social distancing. He's got social distancing for dummies. Residents of a California neighborhood were confronted with an unusual sight recently when a herd of about 200 goats escaped from a backyard, ran through town. They were on an adventure, and a retired firefighter in North Carolina stopped in a store to pick up gas and won $1 million. Back to you, Alan.
When we return, why not get your very own Robes wallet? What is a Robes wallet? But most importantly, what did the Robes wallet say to the glove box?
Let me in, wee you,
wee you, wee you.
If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law today. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, here with some carefully selected words. Have you ever heard the saying, no risk, no reward? What about the greater the risk, the bigger the reward? It's all about the risk, isn't it? Every time you grab your car keys, you are preparing to drive into the risk field. There are thousands of factors which determine the amount of risk, weather, traffic conditions, or the condition of your vehicle. But there is a risk. Good part is, you get to determine the degree of risk you're willing to take. But when those conditions get the best of you, that's when your heartaches begin. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a handy wallet about the size of a number 10 envelope that fits perfectly in the glove box of your car. The wallet has contact numbers, website, and texting information, plus a what-to-do list in case you're involved in an accident. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could determine the outcome of your case. Want a free Robes wallet? Call right now, 561-570-5700, and ask Christina to send you a Robes glove box wallet, and the information within should ease the pain of an unfortunate experience. If you're just starting out in life, moving along through the middle, or a seasoned adult enjoying the trip, it can't hurt to have a backup of your hard drive, an extra memory stick, or a relation with a lawyer who knows what he's doing. Looking for the best outcome? Join the list of satisfied Robes clients and call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700, or visit them at their website, robeslawgroup.com. Again, that phone number, 561-570-5700. Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida. Our first guest is a native Floridian, born in Miami Beach, raised in Boca Raton. She earned a Bachelor of Science degree in biomedical engineering and worked as a software engineer in Massachusetts before going to law school. After law school, she worked as a patent attorney in California before moving back to Florida in 2010. Kara Brotman, welcome to Lifestyles and the Law today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. You draft wills and trusts, as well as handling probate and real estate closings and title work. That's a lot to do for a single-handed attorney, right?
Yes, but I'm not quite single-handedly. I work with my mother, Susan J. Brotman, the lawyer who listens, as well as we have a great paralegal that's been working with Susan for over 20 years.
Well, that's nice. You go into business with your mom, right?
Exactly.
Oh, you're licensed in Florida, New York, California, and you're also a registered patent attorney with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. That's a pretty impressive title.
That's correct. Though, just to be clear, I am inactive in California. Just want to make sure everyone knows that.
So you have a lot going on in your life. What do you do in your free time?
I love to travel. I run the occasional half marathon, though I have done two full marathons, as well as a bunch of 5Ks and some triathlons as well.
Okay, so you're a runner.
Some say maybe walker, jogger, interval trainer, but yes, a runner nonetheless.
Exactly, whatever it takes to get the job done. Everybody knows of a will, everybody's heard about a will, but what's the real definition of a will, and what's an estate plan? What's that all about?
So a will is generally thought of as part of an estate plan. But basically, an estate plan is planning for what you want to happen to your stuff after you die. And it can also include some other things. It can include a trust, which also tells how your stuff goes after you die. But it also can include what we call advanced directives. These are living will, healthcare surrogate, durable power of attorneys, which I believe we're going to discuss bit in one of the next questions to give you more information on exactly what those are.
Well, I know this. If you don't have all this paperwork done prior to your death, you could have the state doing all this for you, and they'll do what they want to do. They're certainly not going to do what you want to do.
In some degree, yes. So that's where will becomes important, because if you don't have a will, your stuff goes according to what they call the intestate statute. That's a fancy way of saying that's how your stuff goes when you die without a will. So if you want to control who your stuff goes to, you want to have an estate plan, and more specifically, you want to have a will and or a trust.
Does that make it easier on your loved ones after that event? I mean, for the basic logic, you're dead. What do you care? But you leave people behind. And if you don't properly put your stuff in order, for lack of a better word, then you're at the mercy of the state.
You are in some ways. Plus, it can be a confusing, sad time for family members. So giving them, basically, you're giving directions to them from the grave, for lack of a better word. So it helps them see who you want their stuff to, and hopefully limit the fighting. Say you have 3 children and you only want to give stuff to 2 children. By having a will, you make sure you only give, your stuff only goes to those 2 children and not the 3rd.
Well, that makes life easier then. So yeah, it is a good thing. You should get your affairs in order, as they say. So do you need to have a will or just an estate plan? You need one or the other or both?
So there is nothing that's required. There's no Florida state statute that requires you to have a will. But as we mentioned earlier, a will tells the world how you want your assets to go when you die. And specifically, it tells the world how you want the assets in your name alone. So more specifically, if you have items that are have joint owners or have beneficiary, those don't go in the will. So the most common examples we see that go according to will are bank accounts and homes or houses, real property. Mm-hmm. That's what we often see that have to go according to a will.
You know, this sounds pretty complicated, and I'll bet it is. This isn't something you can just sit down with a pen and a pad and write down, hey, I want this to go here, that to go there, and you hand it to your wife and say, hey, when I die, follow this. You should really contact an attorney to get this done properly.
Exactly. You should. You can, of course, contact us, or you can contact any attorney or law firm that handles wills and trusts to find out what's best for you and your family. Because there's certain requirements and certain things you want to think of about what happens if you leave your house to 2 children, children A and B. But if one of those children dies before you, do you want it to go to the children's heirs, your grandchildren, or do you want everything to go to the remaining surviving child? And you want to speak to an attorney that makes sure to prepare any documents so everything goes according to your wishes.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, is that any different? What's probate? That's kind of after the fact, right? Probate is...
So a will is tied in with probate. So as we said, a will says how your stuff goes when you pass away. But in order to get your stuff to the people you name in the will, you have to go through probate. Specifically, probate is the court-supervised distribution of your assets according to your will. And it involves what they call a personal representative. That personal representative is named in your will. And specifically in Florida, a personal representative has to meet certain requirements. Those requirements include being either a Florida resident or a blood relative and cannot have been convicted of a felony, for example. And so some people, if they do a will themselves, they may pick a friend. So especially we see this in Florida. So you have a Florida resident who may pick their best friend from New York, but in Florida, that person can't be a personal representative. And when somebody picks an incorrect personal representative, then the state statute comes into effect on who can be a personal representative.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm 30 years old. Do I need a will?
Everybody could use a will. Again, it all comes down to, if you do not have a will, your stuff goes according to the state statute for intestacy.
Right, right. Well, I was just thinking of the fact, being a younger person, no one below the age of 50 thinks they're going to die tomorrow. And a will seems like an expense that they can put off, but it's probably not a good idea.
That is exactly correct.
What's a trust?
A trust is this legal fiction. It essentially does the same thing of a will, but it allows you to tell the world who you want your stuff to go to when you die. But the biggest thing with a trust, it avoids probate. So most people want, you hear people saying, oh, I have a trust, or I want to avoid probate. A trust allows you to do that. It gives you flexibility to essentially control your assets after you die. So you can limit, if you have, again, we'll go back to having children. If you pass away and you have two children, one that is not very good with money and one that's excellent with money, at your death, your trust can specifically give the money outright to the child good with money, and then you can control how that child who's bad with money gets his money. You can limit it to, he gets $5,000 a year, or you can say he gets 25% of all your assets when I die. Then he gets another 50% 5 years later, and so on and so forth. So you have a lot more control in a trust.
All right. So basically, if I'm reading this right, a trust is a will on steroids.
I guess that would be semi-accurate. Yeah, there are definitely differences. But yeah, so they both, overarching principle, they both do the same thing. They both tell people how you want your stuff to go when you die. And both of them can be changed during your life. So
my assets may not automatically go to the people named in my will. There may be other complications. Is that what you're saying?
In your trust. Again, a trust and a will is different. In a will, your assets never automatically go to anybody. You have to go through probate. So, for example, if your will says, I give my bank account to my son, the son can't just go to the bank and say, hey, my father died, give me the money. The court is going to require a court order showing that the son is the beneficiary of the bank account before they write a check. In a trust, if you have that bank account titled into the trust name, then upon your death, then yes, if your trust says, I give all the money in my bank account to my son, then exactly that. You can just go and show bank account the trust, and it goes to the son.
Right. I know a lot of folks that, like if they have an elderly parent, they put themselves on the account with the parent. So if something happens to the parent, they automatically have the account. Is that a good thing to do?
That is usually a pretty smart thing to do, and it can be done in different ways. So some people, we talked briefly about advanced directives. So those advanced directives, like a durable power of attorney, allows the named attorney, in fact, in that document to do banking transactions on behalf of a loved one or a friend, if so named. So for example, when we're doing estate planning and preparing these documents, one of the documents we often prepare is a durable power of attorney. Specifically, the durable power of attorney names attorney in fact and or an alternate that can act on your behalf. So in the power of attorney, it names certain powers that attorney in fact has. The most popular one are banking transactions. So the power of attorney allows your name attorney in fact to do banking transactions for you. So it's just not, however, it's just not automatic. You actually have to go, your attorney in fact or you yourself have to bring that power of attorney to the bank, and they have to specifically add in their paperwork, in their computer system, that you have a power of attorney and who that person is.
Hmm. So this is something you really need to pay attention to. You just can't play around with this. Folks, if you're thinking about a will or you're thinking about a trust, you should get a hold of an attorney. And we're talking to one right now that knows exactly how to do it. And let's get into another subject. How about the living will? What's a living will?
So much like a power attorney, a living will is actually advance directive. It is only good for when somebody is alive. The living will itself is basically saying if you have an end-stage condition, a terminal condition, or in a persistent vegetative state, and two doctors agree there's little likelihood of survival, there's little probability of survival, you do not want to be artificially kept alive. And you are telling the world, basically, in the living will, that you are naming a surrogate to make sure your wishes are carried out.
That's kind of funny that they call it a living will.
It's not the best. It's very confusing for most people. We have people call us or come to us, oh, my living will is gives my stuff to my loved ones. And that's not a living will. That's just a last will and testament, or we just usually call it a will for short.
Right. I know there's another name for it. It eludes me right now, but it's when you're in the hospital and you're on a life support system, you can choose to... DNR. There you go. Thank you so much.
A DNR is basically the medical's living will. So one's a legal document. The living will is often thought of as a legal document, and DNR is essentially very similar, but it's the medical hospital doctor's process. What we often hear people say is if they have scheduled surgery, the hospital or doctor may ask, do you have a living will? Do you have what they call a healthcare surrogate or a power of attorney? And so if you have those documents, you can give them to your hospital or doctor. If you don't have them, some hospitals and doctors allow you to do them for them directly.
Okay. So how often should I update a will or an estate plan?
Whenever you have a major life change, it's good to review your documents to see if they need to be updated. Major life changes, including birth of children or grandchildren. If you move state, if you move from New York to Florida, if somebody you've named previously in your will or trust is no longer living and you want to make changes, or anytime you want to make changes, you have somebody in your will that was your best friend when you did your will or trust 10 years ago, suddenly you no longer talk to them and you haven't talked to them in those 10 years. Maybe you don't want to give them $100,000 when you pass away. Maybe you want that money to go to a charity instead. So you can update these documents at any time, but it's often important to review documents every few years, but even more so when there's a life change.
That's a perfect answer, because life changes every single day and you never know what you're going to run into. So you have to stay on top of this stuff, folks. Hey, you have a question about wills, trusts, and estates? Call the Rose Law Group right now, 561-570-5700. After the break, we'll continue on with Kara Brotman. Thank you so much for spending your time with us this Saturday. We got a few things to do in the show here and we'll get right back to you. Want to hang out?
Sure.
Okay, great. We'll be right back. Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES. Text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Coming up on the second half of the show, Kara A. Brotman is still with us, and she has all the answers. Have a wills, trust, and estate question? Give the Robes Law Group a call right now, 561-570-5700. Then, in our Corona Legal segment, Rick Snyder has some tips that will help you avoid being scammed during the coronavirus pandemic. But right now, it's time for all the news that maybe shouldn't be news, brought to you by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Download their smartphone app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. Rick Snyder, our show producer, has a stack of sticky stuff here to share with us. Rick, what's going on in the world of lawlessness?
Well, Alan, that Florida man has reared his ugly head again. He's John David King, 75, from New Smyrna Beach, annoyed that the nurses in the hospital where he was admitted for respiratory problems were ignoring him. So he lit his bed on fire. What? Yeah, the first time he tried to set his bed on fire, his hospital roommate, Sam Moreno, said he told King to put out the flames. Good idea. But Mr. Moreno said that he could see King was again trying to relight the fire despite the partition between the beds. That's when Moreno hit the emergency button by the bed to summon a nurse. And the nurse, Jesse Guarini, 35, came into the room. Moreno shouted, "That crazy guy has got his bed on fire."
I thought he was going to say, "Come on, baby, light my fire."
Ooh, no, it was too late for that. The nurse sounded the alarm, and sure enough, the fire department showed up. And as that was happening, Mr. King left the room, headed for the elevators, told the staffers he was going to get the hell out of here. He did. King told the staff members that they were ignoring him, and that's why he wanted his clothes back and lit the bed on fire. The officer said he intentionally lit his bed on fire to get the attention of the hospital staff, but he didn't intend to harm himself or others. The bed was considered a total loss, $15,000. Social distancing for dummies.
Yeah.
A Virginia restaurateur has devised an ingenious way to both fill seats and enforce social distancing by populating his eatery with life-size mannequins. Patrick O'Connell, chef at the Inn at Lake Washington, had originally aimed to reopen his upscale Rappahannock location on May 15th. However, he was thwarted when the governor announced on May 9th that businesses could reopen to patrons for outdoor seating only and at 50% capacity. At the lavish Michelin three-star restaurant, since they don't have an outdoor dining area, would not have been able to open until May, as human patrons can take their place post-pandemic. Apparently, O'Connell's banking on the 50% rule eventually applying to indoor seating as well. Not only that, but the chef who majored in drama in college plans to deck out his dining dolls in 1940s garb and even instruct waiters to serve them wine and interact with the plastic pinch eaters. Patrick, after all these years, your location finally paid off, he was told. To help ensure it remains COVID-free, he has the Inn at Little Washington staffers scour the place clean with infrared light and even created coronavirus masks modeled after Marilyn Monroe and George Washington.
I think I like that mask.
George Washington?
No, I wanted to get a picture of myself and put it on a mask so that when I put it on, it doesn't look like I'm wearing a mask.
Stop it, Al. Residents of a California neighborhood were confronted with an unusual sight when a herd of about 200 goats escaped from a backyard and wandered the streets. Terry Rowland said the goats were clearing brush from the hill behind his home in the Silver Creek neighborhood of San Jose Tuesday when they broke through a fence and went wandering the neighborhood. Rowland's son Zach tweeted video of the goats being rounded up in the streets. Neighbors said the goats feasted on potted plants and left the trail of droppings in their wake. When I got back from the store, all the goats had broken through the fence and were just walking around, he said.
So I guess the grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is a good one. A retired firefighter in North Carolina stopped in a store to pick up gas after his lawnmower ran out, and he picked up a couple of scratch-off tickets while there. He won $1 million. The winnings came from one of two $150 million cash explosion scratch-off tickets he bought at the store. Simpson claimed the prize Monday at the lottery's headquarters in Raleigh. He chose to have the money distributed to him through installments over 20 years. He said that'll save the money for him, and he can now go about his daily life as normal. "I'm going to continue working," he said. "It's what I've been doing for 20 years. The million? I'm going to retire on that."
He got to get a hold of the guy in the nursing home.
Yeah, have them get together.
Share that gas.
That's all the news that fits from the Robes Law Group newsroom today.
Well, thanks a lot, Rick. Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida. Kara A. Brodman, welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. Thanks again for hanging out and staying with us through the show.
Thank you for having me again. It's been a pleasure so far.
Well, we try and keep it going. We've been talking about wills and trusts and probate, and if you're 30 years old, you don't really think about, boy, I better get a will. So what do you say to those folks?
You want a will. A will tells the world how your stuff will go at your death. If you don't have a will, your stuff could go to people you don't want it to go to, maybe a sibling you no longer talk to, or your parents that you rather it go to a charity. So, and to make sure your stuff goes to who you want it to go to when you die, you want to have at least a will, if not a trust.
Yeah, actually, and don't think that you're not going to die, because everybody does. That's just the way the world spins. So we talked a lot about different definitions of things, and I heard you mention earlier a durable trust. Now, I know what the word durable means, but how does that work with a power of attorney, a durable power of attorney?
Basically, a durable power of attorney is a type of power of attorney that when you sign it, even if you lose your capacity, it is still good. And by capacity, if you sign it and you're 40 years old and you don't sign a new one, and at 75 you suddenly have Alzheimer's and aren't able to take care of your affairs, you have trouble with banking transactions, for example, your power, right, your durable power of attorney that you signed at 40 is still good now at 75.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, I only think I have a lot of millennial friends, and these folks don't think they're ever going to die. They don't even want to talk about it. So you have to come to reality and understand exactly what's going on in life. So and that also goes like the designation of a healthcare surrogate. Does that sort of go hand in hand with that?
They do. So we call them, we group them together as advanced directives. So we, our law firm specifically does them together, living will, designation of healthcare surrogate, and durable power of attorney. Specifically, a designation of healthcare surrogate is a document where you name a surrogate to act on your behalf. It is a document that allows that person many different powers, but in particular, or most importantly, it allows that person to give informed consent for procedures on your behalf. So for example, if you are in a car accident, you're not dying, but you are unconscious and you can't give permission for a surgery or a procedure to happen, that surrogate has the right to give permission for you to have that procedure. It also, a second power it gives, it also allows your named surrogate to get medical information for you. So this is really important for, say, adult children who may not have a significant other, or even if they do have a significant other or a spouse, that if you if that child, for example, that adult child is diagnosed with a disease and they want help trying to figure out what the next step is, what procedure you want, instead of getting information third hand or second hand from that adult child. So, oh, my doctor said this, my doctor said that. The having a designation of healthcare surrogate and that parent being that named surrogate allows that parent to call the doctor or hospital or any basically covered entity to get information on behalf of that child.
Should my children have a living durable power of attorney, or should I give that to my wife or my best friend? How's that work?
It's up to you who you want to have that sort of authority, but adult children should have, so basically at 18, you should really consider getting them to sign a durable power of attorney, a living will, and a healthcare surrogate, because now they're adults, so they are no longer, they always will be your child, obviously, but under the law, right, they are their independent person. So if they have, again, are in a car accident and suddenly you want medical information for them or about them, if they're over 18, the hospital or doctor may not give you that information.
Say my mother died 5 years ago and I'm selling her house now. Her house was in her name alone. Can I just sell it, or do I have to go through probate or the courts,
yes.
or how's that
it,
work?
You cannot, unfortunately, you cannot just sell it. The house, even though your mother passed away 5 years ago, the house is not officially yours. So until it's officially yours, you can't sell it. So the process of transferring the house to you does require probate. So again, it goes back to everything we've been talking about. The will would say the mother's will would say my house goes to my son, and then you would do probate to specifically have the court recognize that your mother's house, is officially yours. Once that house is officially yours, then you can sell it, mortgage it, lease it, etc.
So when the state puts you through that, are they also expecting to collect some tax? Or I think when you will things, the taxes aren't involved there. Is that correct?
Technically, yes. There are no taxes. So you pay a probate fee to the court. And then depending mm-hmm. on how the house is sold or when it's sold and during what process it's sold, you actually could pay what they call documentary stamps. We call them doc stamps for short, on the sale right. of the house. So those are mm-hmm. stamps or different types of taxes.
Right. Is there any way to avoid that? Like my mom lives in a condo. Can I avoid probate for a condo?
Yes, you can avoid probate a couple different ways for any real property. One is to change the type of deed your house is. So instead of having the deed to your mother individually, we can do different types of deed in Florida. One of the common ones to avoid probate in Florida is what we call a ladybird deed. It's a specialized deed that allows that we transfer the property from, for example, your mother to her as a life estate, and then upon her death, the property goes to what we call remaindermen. And those people inherit the house or get the house without having to do probate. They only need to basically file or record a death certificate with the county that property is in. And in specifically with the ladybird, it comes with certain controls. So your mother, for in this example, would be allowed to sell it, lease it, mortgage it, have certain powers that wouldn't require you as a remainderman to sign off in order for her to transfer the property.
Wow. This sounds pretty darn complicated. I'm 100% sure you really should get an attorney to handle this, folks. And I wonder how it became that way, right? Hey, my father's will says, I give my money in my bank account to my son. And we kind of talked about this earlier, but can I just walk into the bank and say, hey, I'm here, give me my money?
Absolutely not. Same type of thing. If that bank account is in your father's name alone, then the bank is going to require something from the court saying you are entitled to the money in that account. However, like we've talked throughout our talk today, is that if that bank account has you as a beneficiary or you as a joint owner, then yes, all the bank usually requires is a death certificate. If you are a beneficiary and if you're a joint owner, you have a right to that money, whether your father's alive or not.
All right. Well, that makes sense. I think that's what we said in the first segment of the show. A lot of people sign up on their parents' account, so they're both there. And that's, like you said, that's a pretty smart thing to do. So why would the Robes Law Group hire you to settle some of their cases?
So we're not settling their cases. What they often come across is why they are defending a lawsuit or bringing a lawsuit against an injury client or client who suffered injury is that you have to sue a dead person can't be sued. So it is the estate who gets sued. So oftentimes we have to, if they're in the middle of a case and one of the parties passes away, we open up an estate so that the personal representative can stand in the shoes for the decedent, the person who died. And that's who end up getting sued technically, even though they're not usually liable personally, if if they are brought in that situation. The other reason is you need somebody to sign a settlement agreement. So say they've settled a case, say Robes Law Group has settled a case, but the person who's entitled to the money has died during the process. So we often will do probate so that a personal representative can be named to accept the settlement on behalf of the estate. So those are the two big reasons. So somebody can sign for a settlement, or somebody can serve as the party to be sued or to sue somebody else that they're entitled to.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Has the coronavirus scenario here affected your business? The way are people putting off doing wills because they're worried about the coronavirus, or are they actually going out to get wills because of the coronavirus? How's that affecting your firm?
A little bit of both, actually. So we've had some people who started wills and trusts for before all this happened, and then when we went to the shutdown and stay-at-home orders, people were nervous, and those people chose to stay home. Then other people said, oh, I want this stuff done now. And to accommodate everyone that needed documents done, we've been doing what we call drive-up signings. So instead of coming up into our office and sitting in a conference room around a table, people are coming to our office, staying in their car. We come down to them in masks and gloves, and they sign the documents while staying in their car.
I love it. That's absolutely the coolest thing. Who knew years and years ago when the drive-through was invented that it would be so popular nowadays? You started off in the patent office. You were doing patents. You know, that's where Albert Einstein used to work. He worked in the patent office. He learned a lot working there. Did you take advantage of that knowledge that was sitting there in front of you?
So I didn't work at the patent office or the U.S. Patent and Trademark or U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, USPTO. I mostly did patent prosecution, which is the process of getting a patent application through the USPTO to a patent. So we get you file an application, and in a year, 2 years, 10 years, you get a patent from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
And let me ask, you found that really interesting?
It was pretty interesting. It's pretty technical, but you'd be surprised for especially the big industries, the computer-based industries, the cell phone manufacturers and developers, they patent or try to patent a bunch of different ideas, from panning or zooming, because you never know what's going to be the big thing or hit it big on for these different devices. So we see a lot of technical things. So your phones, each of our smartphones have hundreds, if not more, patents all around the different technologies in them.
Wow. So that that just broadened your field in the world of law. That's all. You got to look at things from a different perspective and everything. That's great. Love to get the background on people that are working with us. And Kara Brotman, we thank you for being on Lifestyles in the Law today. You have explained the scope of wills, trusts, and estates better than I've ever heard before. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, great. We'll have you back again. You're just too interesting not to do that. Have a question about wills, trusts, and estates? Call the Robes Law Group right now, 561-570-5700. Or you may visit their website at robeslawgroup.com. Hey, Rick, do you have your seatbelt securely fastened? Because this is the time when we say, hey, folks, listen to this. When you hear that sound, something bad is about to happen.
Good afternoon. This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
And that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in knowing you have selected the right team to represent you in your hour of need. The Department of Transportation tells us more than 5 million crashes occur every year. That's more than 13,600 accidents every single day. Every day. So be aware of... And remember, when you need legal representation, call the good folks at Robes Law Group at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or better yet, download the Robes Law Group app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES to 474747.
This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law Today. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, along with our show producer, Rick Snyder, with a message for those afflicted with panophobia. If you have a fear of everything, or a fear that something bad is about to happen, then you really need to grab your smartphone right now, if you're not driving, and text the word ROBES, that's R-O-B-E-S, to 474747, and download the ROBES Law Group app, and open it. It's a beautiful app. There are many options. You can listen to the show, make contact with the office 24/7, 365. Besides, the smart folks over at the Robes Law Group give you peace of mind knowing that legal representation is in the palm of your hand. Just a friendly reminder, when you hire Robes from the app, you receive a $1,000 fee credit when your case is settled. That's $1,000 just from hiring Robes from the app. Remember, text the word ROBES to 474747. Got it? Get it? Problem solved.
Millions of Americans have joined together to halt the spread of this horrible disease. Our experts and scientists report that our strategy to slow the spread has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Our team of experts now agrees that we can begin the next front in our war, which we are calling Opening Up America Again.
What happens when the coronavirus shutdown hits the legal community head on? Lifestyles in the Law Today presents Corona Legal. The last word settles the case. All right, Rick Snyder, what do we have in the world of Corona Legal this week?
Have you ever heard of coronavirus insurance? Good question, eh? Well, can you insure yourself against getting coronavirus? Probably not, other than protection via any health or life insurance you currently hold. But that doesn't stop fake insurance agents using high-pressure telesales tactics to try to convince victims that they can. If you get a call offering this type of protection, it's almost certainly fake. And of course, you should never buy any type of product peddled via unsolicited calls without first checking the true identity of the caller. If you have to, call your state insurance department. If they're not listed, they're not licensed. If they are listed, the only way to be sure they're the people who called you is by using the number the department gives you and checking back with them. I'd be really wary of somebody calling you and offering you coronavirus insurance.
What's going on with the doctors going door to door? That's still happening. According to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department, there were some folks out there faking doctorships.
I think the doctorships sailed away. The sheriff probably scared these fake doctors off. And what would you do if somebody came to your door and said, I'm a doctor?
I would probably say, doctors don't make house calls anymore. Go away.
Even if they go away, if you want to follow them, you can do that by installing some stalkerware on your phone. Cyber stalkers have a new weapon in their efforts to virtually follow their victims, stalkerware, a software whose sole purpose is to enable these crooks to spy on their victims. And with people using their mobile devices more than ever, thanks to the COVID-19 lockdown, we're likely to see an increase in this behavior. We define online stalking as the use of internet for monitoring and often harassing an individual. It involves all kinds of sinister motives, including scamming victims, stealing their identity, blackmailing, bullying, and intimidation. But in this case, we're talking about programs that are planted on your smartphone that are capable of seeing and hearing everything you do and where you do it, and then reporting back to whoever is following you there. So, Alan, what we have to do is be very careful of what we're installing in our phone, security software, watch it. And when you do, run it, scan it, then select either block or uninstall the program. It's not always easy to check if you have certain cyberstalker apps installed, but a surge in your phone's data usage could be a giveaway, or if your battery drains quicker than usual. Check your apps. Make sure you don't have stalkerware installed.
Stay tuned next week, Rick, because we have Anna Marie Mitchell coming on, and she has all the latest IRS
tax news. You know, the IRS has given us a little more time to file taxes, and Anna will be here to help us out with that.
Very necessary, and we thank you in advance, Anna. Can't wait to hear you.
You bet.
Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law today. I'm Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, along with Rick Snyder, our show producer. Rick, do we have some happy Robes clients today?
We do, and they're very happy, happy enough to give us testimonials. And sometimes the shortest ones are the best.
I love happy.
Ebony Diaz says, professional, courteous, and great staff. That is her testimonial for Robes Law Group. We also have some longer ones, and some of these are really good too. Megan Anderson, you knocked it out of the park for me and my family. You far exceeded our expectations in resolving my case, and we cannot thank you enough. You are all not only hardworking and make your clients feel like they are not just a number. Thank you so much for the beautiful flowers and well wishes.
Aww.
Obviously, they settled the case for this woman and sent her flowers as well.
All right. Where do we get all these Happy Robes Law clients from?
Well, we check the Facebook page for Robes Law Group. That's right. It's on the Robes Law Group Facebook page.
I think that's facebook.com/Robes Law Group. If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES. Text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law today. I'm your host and non-legal orator here with some carefully selected words. Have you ever heard the saying, no risk, no reward? It's all about the risk, isn't it? Every time you grab your car keys, you are preparing to drive into the risk field. There are thousands of factors which determine the amount of your risk: traffic, weather conditions, distractions, or time restrictions. But there is a risk. The best part is, you get to determine the degree of risk you're willing to take. But when those conditions or restrictions get the best of you, that's when your heartaches begin. That's why Robes Law Group developed a handy wallet about the size of a number 10 envelope that fits perfectly in the glove box of your car. The wallet has contact numbers, website, and texting information, plus a comprehensive list of what to do in case you are involved in an accident. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could determine the outcome of your case. Want a free Robes wallet? Call right now, 561-570-5700, and ask Christina to send you a Robes glove box wallet, and the information within should ease the pain of an unfortunate experience. It can't hurt to have a backup of your hard drive, an extra memory stick, and a relationship with a lawyer who knows what he's doing. Looking for the best outcome? Join the list of satisfied Robes clients and call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700, or visit them at their website, robeslawgroup.com. Again, that phone number, 561-570-5700. Coming up on next week's show, attorney Justin Lin is with us. He leads the pack when it comes to out-of-state personal injury claims. He's just not out of state, and he's not out of mind. Justin Lin, next week. We would like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. Tell your good-hearted friends about the show. Any friend of yours is certainly a friend of ours. Listen to Lifestyles in the Law today every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. for the latest legal and statutory rulings and decisions. We hope our mission was successful and your time with us was enjoyable, fun, and tax-free. The show is underwritten by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach and originates from a virus-free studio in West Palm Beach, Florida. Executive producer John Mitchell, show producer Rick Snyder, audio engineer John Nutter, and I'm your host, Alan Mason. Sneeze you next week.